When your daughter's learning how to drive and says,
Baba, can I drive?
You say,
Híjole, here we go.
But what you should say is something that helps protect your ride.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that's where State Farm comes in, to help you choose the coverage you need, so you can relax until you hear,
Can we pick up my boyfriend?
Wait, what?
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Charles Pellegrino, the author of To Hell and Back, Last Train from Hiroshima. The first bomb is dropped. The observation from the Enola Gay and from the weather plane that was flying up beside it is both breathtaking and strange to the men who dropped the bomb and to the people who are learning about the effects of the bomb in Washington. The month before, in July 1945, the President of the United States was at the Potsdam Conference, along with his allies Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin, and they're looking at a post-war period. Stalin knows about the bomb but pretends that he's surprised when Truman tells him, after the word comes, that the test is successful in New Mexico. The bomb is underway, and Stalin says something flippant like, I hope it's a good bomb or a big bomb. That's July of 1945. We're now in August of 45. The president's back. They get the information that the first bomb has been effective. Charlie, did they know what they meant when they said effective? Did they know about the black rain? Did they know about the breadth of the destruction?
They knew that the city had, the center part of Hiroshima had basically disappeared. They had done reconnaissance flights before and afterward. They knew that the wooden buildings would probably be set afire, that it might create a firestorm. They knew everything would be knocked down, all the factories would be destroyed. One of them aboard, Jacob Bezier, he had looked down from the atomic strike plane. He was the radar man, and he said it looked like if you went into the water moving your feet in the sand and you saw the billowing, that's what it looked like. And he said after that, he still loved the sea. He would go out in boats, but after that, he could no longer go to a beach and move his feet through the sand in the water. They did not know yet about the radiation effects, right, about what became known in Hiroshima as atomic bomb disease. And in fact, the people believe, some of the doctors believe, that maybe some sort of disease weapon had been dropped on Japan after the plane went over. It took them a while to figure out that what the effects of radiation were doing. And Japan did have its own atomic scientist who figured out very quickly that it was radiation that was causing the sickness that they were seeing in Hiroshima and then later in Nagasaki.
It's 10:02 p.m. in Washington, East Coast time, wartime, and it's 11:02 a.m. in Nagasaki. Nagasaki is not the primary target. Kokura is the primary target, but Oppenheimer and others had made it very clear to Sweeney, flying boxcar, not to drop it with radar, not to drop it through clouds. You must see your target. They went over Nagasaki and dropped the plutonium bomb. Charlie, my memory of your reporting is that it was something of a dud. Is that an accurate memory?
It was the Hiroshima bomb that went off with less power than was originally predicted, between 10 and 12 kilotons. The Nagasaki bomb was much worse. It was 27 to 29 kilotons. And in Hiroshima, by comparison, 8 miles out, trees that were facing the detonation, the leaves on the bomb-facing side of the trees desiccated and shriveled up. Nagasaki, that happened 50 miles out. Nagasaki was much worse.
There was a mountainside or a cliffside, as I recall, that radiated the effects of the blast down the valley. Is that Nagasaki?
Right. The town that the bomb detonated directly over was Urakami, and the there, it was in a valley. It was in a deep, fairly deep river valley. And so all along that valley into part of Nagasaki itself, along the river, the buildings, the people, everything was, the force was directed south. And it was like being in the mouth of a shotgun or a cannon.
Puzzle, Charlie. After the Hiroshima bomb, they did have after effects. They did have an after battle effect. Were they aware that they were going to kill civilians with the Nagasaki bomb or the Kokura bomb, either one? Was that knowledge?
They were very aware. In fact, Charles Sweeney, who I had interviewed, he had gone when he knew that Nagasaki would be the secondary target and it had a huge civilian population. He sat with the priest the night before and prayed that it would be Kokura, which was a military target with the houses and huts around it. And that's why he flew three times over Kokura and under heavy fire and risked the bomb. And the chief pilot of the Hiroshima mission, he had wanted Sweeney actually court-martialed for risking the bomb, for doing everything he could to not hit Urakami and Nagasaki. And the priest later on, he became very depressed because he was telling a journalist later that I blessed a journalist who grew up going to the same priest church. And then he found out that this was the priest who had spoken with Sweeney. And he said, God, forgive me. I blessed the bomb. I blessed the plane. I blessed the crew that dropped the bomb. And he just, kept weeping and saying to the writer, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And the thing is, nobody knew of the radiation. And the journalist had told him, you didn't know. And he said, I knew what would happen when it came to Nagasaki. And that's, he couldn't forgive himself for it.
There are photographs of inspection teams in Hiroshima. I haven't seen one in Nagasaki. After the war, after the surrender, after the occupation, the photographs have them grinning and smiling and writing their reports. They did not know of the radiation. Is that correct, Charlie? They didn't know what the risks they were taking walking through those ruins.
Right. Even in 1947, when we were testing, they knew something of the radiation. But I think the concentration was, can soldiers go into a fresh nuclear detonation and not be immediately immobilized by fallout? And we actually, you see films of these tests where the men are in foxholes and then they're walking into the mushroom cloud and being exposed. And many, many of them died from cancer and other complications years later. One of them was the co-author of the novel that became the movie, The Towering Inferno, in, I believe it was 1976.
Sounds right. Charles Pellegrino, his book is To Hell and Back, Last Train from Hiroshima, August 5th, 1945 in Washington, August 6th, 1945 in Hiroshima, August 8th, 1945 in Washington, August 9th, 1945 in Nagasaki. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.